You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number three starts now. Final 60 minutes of The Suspects as we get ready for the press box, which will start on Monday, full-blown Charlie, Nick, and myself. And again, even on that front, when people said, well, The Suspects sound a lot better and rolls off the tongue better than The Press Box. Guess why? Because you're accustomed to it and you've had it for 3 years. So just like the name itself, everything's going to take a little getting used to. And just like the reason why we had the segment that we did earlier when we said, look, we miss Barry too. And we know the show's not going to be the way it was when Barry's not here. We're the first ones to tell you that. And Barry is still a brother to us. And nothing has changed in any of that. The only thing that's changed is, due to financial issues with the station, changes were made. We didn't make those changes, but we're dealing with them. And so to deal with them means there's a new lineup starting on Monday. I'm thankful that my man Nick and I are going to be together. And Charlie Plill is going to be a part of it. And Charlie and I, luckily, have known each other, and we kidded a lot on the show over the years that he and I are friends. We've been friends for a long time. Barry used to give me grief because, you know, Charlie actually friended me on social media and followed me on social media. And so we had some good fun with it. But I look forward to working with Charlie. You know, there were opportunities for us to work on the network to fill in the past for Craig Larson. And both of us said, we called each other and said, I'm game if you are. And Charlie basically said, if I'm working with you, I'll do it. Otherwise, I don't know that I would have done it. And I said, I feel the same way. So we'll see how it goes. It's not going to be The Suspects, so please don't expect that. But I think it's going to be great conversation. People don't realize how personable and funny and pop culture experience Charlie is. And you know, the three of us will chop it up. So
there will be positives about this situation. It just like you mentioned, you have to, it's something that you have to get used to. And I think everybody will, as you mentioned, you've been friends with Charlie for a long time, and, it's just the nature of our business that we're all too familiar with sometimes. And, yeah, there's going to be a lot of positives, come Monday. So tune into the show and, try to absorb it and give us some time. And I think
open mind. Observe it with an open mind.
Yeah, I can't agree more. So just absorb the show. You'll like it. I think you'll really like it. So
all right. So with that being said, you got someone that wants to get in on that topic. Is it Justin?
Yeah, we have Justin on the line. What's up, man?
Hey, fellas, thanks for getting me in. Before I get to my question, first I do love the show. I've probably been listening for about just a little bit over a year. And I used to listen to ESPN Radio way, way back in the day when Mike and Mike was on and Colin Cowherd was on. And I stopped listening for a very long time just because it was too much of a national vibe to me. I didn't feel like I got an honest opinion like I get with the shows that are on now. But I tell you what, several years later, I was at work and I said, let me see what it's about. So I turned on the radio and I get y'all's show and I'm like, okay, what's this about? And I tell you what, Nick, it's all your fault. You got me hooked, especially to The Suspects, because I turned the radio on, and I hear, it was a text message that really set you off, Nick, because you blasted the dude's number over the radio waves with that robot lady's voice or whatever it was, an app or whatever it was. You blasted his number all over the radio, and I was like, I like these guys. I'm hooked.
that never seems to escape me.
But my question was, like Barry said on his live chat, you know, Joel, you're kind of like, you're kind of like the lead. You know, you come out, you ask the questions. Barry would give his opinion, and I kind of feel like Charlie's the same way. Today, he didn't really act concerned. Actually, Charlie acted like he's very excited to be doing this new show with y'all. But is there any concern whatsoever, about maybe, and I don't want to say butt heads, because I know, like you said, y'all get along and everything, but especially not being in the same studio starting out, trying to trip over each other or something, do you don't think, is that going to be maybe a little bit of an issue, you trying to talk, him trying to talk, or whatever?
Justin, it's a great question. And look, if I had the answers to you, I'd give them to you. But I think that you bring up a great point. There's a variable that none of us could have prepared for. It's already difficult enough when you come from a show that had the following and what we had with the suspects into a new venture starting Monday. But the fact that we have to do it without being in the studio, all three of us, and we're all going to be separated, it's going to be difficult. We're going, as Nick and I just got done saying, we're going to have kind of like a feeling out period, and that we're going to have some growing pains, because we're going to, the same way we developed the chemistry and knew when either one of the other two was going to speak or not speak or chime in, we're going to have to develop that with Charlie. And just like being the lead on the show, look, I'd be a fool if I told you that even if they say, hey, Joel, you're still going to do what you're doing, and Charlie's going to be the guy that, you know, with all of his knowledge of sports, is going to be the, you know, the guy that you feed off, you throw him something, he talks, then you guys open up a discussion. Ideally, that's the way we'd love it all to go. But I'm not naive enough to say in 90% of the radio shows that Charlie, or 75% of the shows Charlie's done over his career, he's been a one-man band. And he's worked with Lance, he's worked with Rich Lord, but really, other than that, it's been Charlie on Charlie. And so it's going to take some time. And I'm not the guy that's going to strong-arm Charlie. I'm going to have passionate discussions with him, I'm sure, on lots of sports topics. But I think that the one thing, as long as we all go in with an open mind and a positive attitude, I think we'll work it out. Now, we ask you guys to roll with us because there's probably going to be some rough spots. But, Nick, feel free. I mean, that's just my take. But I mean, think
Justin had
time,
a good question.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Justin had a really good question. And look, it's kind of a double hurdle, a double deterrent, right? Because you got a feel out process where you're getting used to each other, and now you got to do that remotely. And look, there's guys on this radio station who have been working with each other for years, and the fact that they're working with each other now during the pandemic remotely, they're still talking over each other and they're getting used to that as well. So even when there's chemistry that's been built, when chemistry has been built, the fact that we're doing this remotely during the pandemic, it's another hurdle to jump. But I don't think that's a problem that any one of us is too unfamiliar with. I think we all have a fair share. You know, Joel and Charlie combined have, you know, 2,000 years experience in the radio game.
I don't think that was necessary.
But, I mean, you know, so there we're going to learn how to do, we're going to know how to deal with it. We're going to approach it like anybody else. All right? We've got Clarence, if you want to take that call, too.
Absolutely. Always happy to take a call from Clarence. Clarence, what's up, my man?
What's up, man?
What's going on, Joel? What's up, Nick? Now, come on, Nick. 2,000 years, man. I thought it was more like 2,800.
Like that. See, I don't need this from you, Clarence.
Man, but, you know, I'm going to miss the dynamic of you and Barry and Nick. And I understand the situation and the circumstances of what happened. But I'm also looking forward to the press box for y'all to get into the box and have lively discussions. And I implore everybody, it's just like when the suspect started out. You gotta go into it with an open mind. It's just like a new show that you see on TV that you just see a pilot and you're like, okay, I'm going to come back to it. You gotta have an open mind. You gotta listen to it. And I've chatted up with Charlie a few times and remote. And of course, I talk with you, Joel, and you, Nick, and understanding y'all personalities and everything. I know it's going to work out because y'all are a good dude. Y'all do a great job. Y'all are professional. Y'all are just playoff with each other.
Yeah, you know what? And Clarence, as we speak, someone 214 area code said, Charlie told me he's known you 20 plus years, Joel. I listen to both shows daily. I'm really excited. That's exactly what we're looking for. Just be excited and open-minded and let the cards fall where they may, because I have known Charlie for 20, 25 years. So, you know, there's been a lot of, we used to banter back and forth kiddingly about, you know, how fun it would be sometime to just do something like this. So now we have the opportunity. So we just got to make the most of it. And that's all we're going to try and do. And hopefully along the way, you guys will draw the affinity for it like you have in previous shows of both Charlie's and myself. And look, here's the other thing, too. And Nick is the glue in all of this, and he always has been. And I really resented the fact that he didn't like me much early on when he was explaining that about how it all played out with Barry. But I'll get over that. But the thing is Nick is the glue because he's been at the station the longest, and he understands radio the best from his perspective. And so you know, you're still going to get the best part of both worlds. You get some suspects, you get some Charlie, and hopefully in the process, the product we put out there is a new dynamic that people will like. And if you look at Granato and Lance, and you look at how long Fred and AJ, we just said they passed their 10-year anniversary, whether it's consistently 10 straight years or it happens and it goes off for a while and it comes back on, in the case of John and Lance, Barry's not dead and he's still in the market, and Nick and I both would love opportunities to work with him again. So, I mean, we're just going to try and be as positive as we can.
Yeah, Barry's not going anywhere. He's definitely going to pop up, and the same goes for Raheel. So
absolutely, with Raheel as well, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say that too. So, all right, so we're going to continue to roll forward. And again, final hour of the show, but we have plenty more we can get to. But if there's things on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to join us, well, the door's wide open, so is the phone line and the keyboard. 713-780-3776 is how you reach the show, via call or text. And of course, if you want to hit us on Twitter, we're checking that as well, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'll get you through till 4. Blitz will take you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects. Final hour of the show. Probably the final suspect show. As we said, we had the final with all three of us together on Wednesday. This will be the last one with any of the labeling as we go to the press box on Monday, as Nick and myself and Charlie will go from 11 to 2 p.m., the Will Cain Show again from 2 to 4 p.m., as we shuffle the time slots just a little. Demetrius can kiss my ass and Nick's ass, too, I feel comfortable in saying all of it. We love you, Demetrius, but if you ever ask again if the press box can have lawn talk, you may be the first to be banned on the new show. Let's just make
unfortunately,
it
there are no lawn experts on this program. I don't think Charlie.
I don't think you want Charlie spreading your weed and feed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think Charlie does his own lawn. I highly doubt that.
I don't know if Charlie has a house. I would think he still lives in an apartment, so he has all the amenities. I can see. Hey, Charlie, you want to spread some weed and feed? Yeah, not today. So yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. What was the other one? Oh, Barry has big shoes to fill and Charlie has small feet, but we true suspects are going to root for success. Robert and Tom Ball. Very well put, Robert. We appreciate that. We just, like we said, keep an open mind. Give it a shot. We would appreciate it. Football news that we did not get to yet today. We mentioned Philip Rivers for one thing. We said Drew Brees has a deal now after his Saints deal is over. Whenever he retires, Drew Brees is going to be hired by NBC Sports to be their heir apparent in terms of football analysis. That's a great gig. Philip Rivers has got his new gig outside of football, and it's not going to be broadcasting, and it's not going to be in the NFL, but it's a dream come true for Philip Rivers. He got choked up because he's already agreed in principle to take over as the head football coach at St. Michael Catholic High School in Alabama, in Fairhope, Alabama. So he won't take over until he is done playing. Right now, currently a one-year, $25 million deal with the Colts. And you got to believe if it goes well, he might stick it out for another year or so because he's never won a Super Bowl. But whenever he decides to walk away, he's going to be a head football coach in high school in Alabama. And he said it's a little emotional. He got choked up because he had two childhood dreams. One was to play in the NFL going on his 17th season. He's done that. And the other is to be a high school football coach like his dad. Now he's going to be able to live both of his dreams out. Good for him.
Good for him, but boy, you got to have some patience because, I mean, he already has 39 kids, and now he wants to deal with all the high school.
But if you think about it, Nick, he's got 39 kids, so maybe he builds up, you know, a good portion of his roster with his own kids.
Could you imagine, like the O-line or the D-line, like they're all Rivers kids or something like
that? Well, the gene pool is fantastic if you're looking for a quarterback and maybe a couple of skill positions. If your dad's a quarterback in the NFL, you got to believe he played other sports well. And at least he's playing one sport in one position really well.
But there's probably only one son that's good at the quarterback. There's probably like another son that wants to be quarterback, but within the family, they really know he'll never be a quarterback. You know, like he's like the less athletic of the two.
Now, we've had this conversation in the past.
LeBron has to be dealing with that.
The best of the best. And look, that's an interesting scenario too, because Dwayne Wade's kid is on the same team as LeBron's kid. But Bronny got playing time as a freshman, and D. Wade's kid didn't, and D. Wade lost his bleeping mind and had all kinds of issues, whereas LeBron was like, you know what, my kid's getting playing time. He's also not the best player on his team based on the seniors that were going to get big-time scholarships to play Division I college basketball. So in the process, you kind of wait it out. But when you talk about the gene pool of the best of all time, you know, it coming as kids – I got to go Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds at the top of the list, because you took it to MJ's kids, one of them played Division I basketball. I think both of them ended up playing Division I college basketball, but nothing like, you know, going to get drafted, going to play in the NBA type. And there are more failures than successes in terms of like big time careers on the professional level. But from a high school standpoint, you got to believe his kids are going to be able to play.
Right, yeah, at the high school level, just because of the discrepancy in talent sometimes, you know, you see that at not just at high school football, but high school basketball. So, yeah.
Nick, we only got to worry about two. So, we joke about how many. He's got 9 kids, 7 of them are their daughters. So, unless one of the girls wants to give it a go and put some pads on, he's got 2 sons, one going into 6th grade, another going into 3rd grade. So, you know what? If he's grooming them right, 2 Rivers kids could probably help dad out at some point. And the 7 girls, they'll probably play sports too, just probably not football.
Right, right. I'm sure that's a very athletic family. I'm pretty sure. At the very minimum.
Yeah, he was All-State. He was and Phillip was an All-State quarterback in high school, played for his dad. So, you know, look, everybody's got – he doesn't need money. Lord knows he's made a ton in his career, and I didn't even Google his net worth, but if he's making 25 for 1 year, you know he's well over $100 million in career earnings. So even if he has 9 kids, he can afford them. And we talked to Shane Battier yesterday, and everybody's different in terms of what do they want to do when they're done playing. Some want to keep the big-time paychecks coming, and they want to be in the limelight, and they want to get into coaching or you know, general manager like John Lynch and some of those guys, or some want to get into broadcasting, and others just want to kind of relax and fade away into the sunset. I mean, could be a lot worse. He's going to be—he's staying in football. He's working with kids. He's coaching. And if you got a kid playing football, you got to be stoked that Phillip Rivers could be coaching your kid someday.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And it's obviously something he wants to do, because let's be honest, I'm not saying that's like a bad job for him to take, but he probably has opportunities outside that he could have taken. But the fact that he's going to take time to be a high school, you know, a high school coach, I think that's something he wants to do. And that's cool, because the very common theme is, what am I going to do post my playing career? I'm probably going to try and be a broadcaster on one of these major networks, or be a play-by-play or a color analyst of some sort, and continue to be attached to the game and be relevant. And you know, I'm not going to say he's going to lose relevancy, but he's not going to be in that NFL.
Maybe he wants to. You know, we talk about, look, watching The Last Dance, we talk about how it takes its toll. And MJ had just finally had enough of all the media and the scrutiny and not being able to go out. We had Wennington on, and Bill Wennington said just being a member of that team and seeing how difficult it was to just go out and get dinner or anything else, it can be taxing to the point where you don't want the limelight anymore. Some live for it, and when they're done playing, they're hungry for it, and they're starved for it, and they're hurt by the fact it's not there anymore, and they'll do anything to get back in a position where they can get it. And others just go, you know what? I had my time in the spotlight. I got all the money I needed. Now just leave me alone. I'm going Bo Jackson. I'm going fishing. I'm going hunting. Leave me alone.
I ain't mad at that. I mean, I don't know how I would react if I had all that money. I mean, I try to ride off in the sunset too. I mean, I tend to believe if I'm super rich, that I don't necessarily want to be like in the public light. I don't want to be super famous. Like if I'm already established.
Well, you already are. I mean, the fact that, you know, you've lived this radio life of stardom for so long that when you hit it big, you can just, you've been there, done that.
Yeah. When I, that, that, Look, man, it's cool what we do, obviously, but and it's cool what they do. They're doing it on a completely different level. But
right.
I'd like to think that if I had money, I'm just going home chilling. I'm just, you know, I'm relaxed. What are you doing? I mean,
I'll tell you this. I will say this. When I lost my job and left the Rockets, I thought, well, it was so great to have such a connection with the fans and the listeners and to do all those things. And I wondered if I would ever get that back again. And there was something to be said about, you know, having that ability to just, whether it's Kick It or Talk Sports or people that wanted your opinion, it was cool. And I was wondering if that was gone forever. And then to have this opportunity, I'm like, you know what? You do miss it to some degree, and I'm glad I got this chance to do something like this. Some people, you're right, are on the exact opposite, going, man, I got tired of people, you know, tweeting me all the time and coming at me all the time. Obviously, on a national level, it's greater than what we do. But look, and a text message comes out great. Great names, okay? And absolutely right. I gave you two baseball names, as I said, the greatest of all time, because of the fact that you look at Barry Bonds as the all-time home run hitter in the history of the game. I don't care if he cheated or not. Ken Griffey Jr., obviously one of the best natural players to ever play the game. So we'll just say this. Best in baseball all time, those two guys. Best in football, thanks to the text line, Peyton Manning and his brother Eli. Eli, whether you like it or not, it's probably going to be a Hall of Famer at some point. Peyton's a slam dunk. So from a football perspective, you got the Manning family, right? You've got the Matthews family with the whole relationship between Bruce and Clay, and then Clay right. Jr. and Bruce's son playing offensive line for the Falcons. And so the Matthews family has to be considered. The Jordan family, Steve Jordan was a tight end, and his son is an outstanding defensive lineman for the Saints, Cameron Jordan. So then who do we got in basketball?
Oh, man. I mean, just so basketball, there was – Curry just had Steph Curry and his brother.
Oh, I think it's a good one though. I think because you got both Kerr boys are playing. I mean, both Curry brothers are playing in the NBA now, and their dad Dell was a hell of a 3-point shooter. That's got to be on the list. Obviously, Steph's going to go down as one of the best to ever do it.
Oh, the Gasols. So, the Gasols.
Gasols is Powell, well, no, Gasol. Because no, because they're brothers. You would have to have a generation previous. Their dad would have had to have been.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. How about?
So, like, internationally, you could say Sabonis and his son, who's playing in the
correct.
NBA, is up there. The Currys, definitely up there. I'm thinking about the greats to ever play.
And Tim Hardaway's.
Hardaway and his son's not bad. I'm just seeing. We're getting a ton. Calvin Hill as a running back with the Cowboys. Grant Hill, that's a good one.
Well, Calvin Hill, I think he's the first ever to, I think, be drafted by the NFL or the Cowboys to come out of Yale. He's a very intelligent man.
Very intelligent, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, feel free to throw him out there. Well, and you know what? There's one that pretty much puts it at the top as well. How about Kobe Bryant?
Oh, yeah.
Jellybean Joe Bryant played with the Rockets, played in the NBA, played overseas. That's fantastic. That's a great one. So put him up there. So we'll see. If you got any more, throw them at us. But a couple people now saying Joe and Kobe Bryant right up at the top. Bobby and Brett Hull in hockey, absolutely a great one. I think Gordie Howe's son played. I don't know how well. Michael Thompson and Klay Thompson. Michael Thompson was the first overall pick out of the Bahamas. From the Bahamas, they ended up with the Lakers and the Blazers. So some good ones there. That's what I like when you guys are participating with positive text messages. Fantastic stuff. Yeah. I will continue to roll on as we've got a half hour to go on the show. We take it till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Boy, you guys have been fantastic picking up for a lot of crap in the first 2 hours on the text line. We got into this whole discussion of, like, father-son. And I guess it could be mother-daughter or father-daughter or whatever, too. But just in every sport, as we were talking about it, you know, who would it be? Well, someone said Doc and Austin Rivers. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
But there are better. Obviously, the Kobe one was great. The Currys, another great one. In auto racing, it obviously has to be the Earnharts, the Andretti's, the Petty's are three right there. I don't want to get into a trade discussion, so we've gotten enough on auto racing. But look, someone said the Earnharts, and they're right. Cowboy Trav said the Moss family. Randy, yes. TBD on the Sun.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't get drafted. He's going to sign with the Redskins. He had a year left at LSU or more, but that's a TBD. We don't know how good, you know, the Sun's going to be, but obviously you don't mess with Randy. A couple people said the Berry family because you had Rick Berry and then Brent Berry and John Berry and even Scooter Berry who played in college. Good call there. I'll take that one. I think that was valid.
Yep, for sure.
The Ripkins, Cal Sr., Cal Jr., and Billy. That's a good one for baseball as well. It's not maybe to the level of Griffey Jr. with the accomplishments of both combined or the Bonds family, but a good one nonetheless. David Robinson and Sons. Well, I'll give you the Admiral, but the Sons? No. One's playing basketball at Duke and is, I think he's a walk-on. He had one big game this year to help them out, but
another TBD.
The other one, wide receiver with Notre Dame, but nothing that's going to tell me they're going to play on the next level. And then another great one, the Long family in football, because you had Chris Long, you had his brother that played offensive line for the Bears, and, of course, Howie Long. So that was a really good one right there. And the Alou family in baseball, look, those are all brothers. And then the dad, who also was a manager, agreed. That's a good one. The Alou family in the Berries and Michael Thompson and Doc Rivers. And, okay, you guys are repeating now. So those are good. All right, you got a call you want to get to, Nicholas?
We have George on the line. I didn't quite get what he wants to talk about, but I think he wants to join us. What's up, man?
Hello?
Yes, George, go ahead.
Hey, sorry, I don't want to make this last show like a downer or anything. Just first of all, my condolences to you guys. I'm very impressed with how well, like, the last 2 days have been, you know, and how professional and everyone's been carrying themselves. I just wanted to say something that really struck me on Wednesday, but in a good thing. And particularly in light with, like, the virus and everything, like, we're not a country or people really used to adversity anymore. And like, your show particularly, like, it was a good example of how easily you can kind of get, like, too mad or too impactful by sports. Like, you know, how we're easily irritated and, you know, like, we're kind of thin-skinned when it comes to ribbing or whatever, but it was, you know, in a humorous way. But Wednesday was a good example of just how, I don't know, like, especially as guys, like, you work hard to keep your emotions in check, to keep, you know, always even keel, but you never show any weakness. And then when Trey called in and he only has the ability to be himself, like, he couldn't act away if he tried, and, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve and was able to just, like, effortlessly voice what he was feeling and what that kind of day would evoke in anybody. And then, like, the impact that it had on you guys. And, man, I can only imagine how many other listeners besides me were just, you know, hoping nobody was looking in our car windows as we're driving and wiping off our face. But it was kind of a beautiful moment, you know, for a moment when we were human and, you know, all of our, you know, little minor annoyances, you know, kind of went away, and we you know, got a glimpse of what was really important and said things that we wouldn't have said otherwise. We probably should have. But anyways, dude, best of luck to you guys. And I like Charlie's show. I like you guys. It'll be neat to see how that melts. And with Fathers and Sons, I love Prince Fielder and his dad. Like, they almost look like carbon copies of each other.
Yeah, great call.
Right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, George. Have a great weekend. That was a great call. You know what, Nick? It's interesting. While he was talking, the one thing that came to my mind was we always said it's not real life. It's just, I mean, it's not like life or death. It's not you're paying the rent or anything like that. It's just sports. So as long as it's a discussion, not an argument, the reality of Wednesday was it was real life. Because instead of just being sports and talking about it, we were talking about a real life issue that hit all of us, with people losing their employment, and it changed everything. And look, George is not alone, and we have heard from so many people, and I've actually reached out to Trey and talked to him a couple times because of how proud I was of him, but how happy I was he did that. But everyone that said, they went back and listened to it, and as soon as they got to the Trey call, they lost it too. And that's the other thing that shouldn't be lost in all of this, like the caller said. The emotion and the ability to let it out is also part of life. And the fact that Trey kind of let us literally open the floodgates, that we were trying to like be the tough guy and say we don't do those kind of things. And you felt it, Nick. I mean, you were keeping it together better than most, and we all felt
that. That was the most unique show, most emotional show I've ever been a part of in my entire life. So I've been a part of a lot of radio programs in my career. So that was unique. I mean, it was well said, George, and we appreciate the phone call. And I try not to make the show down for too long, but no, we were just being real. So yeah, our feelings come out, and that was just a real show. You're right, Joel. That was just a transparent. That was just us being us. That was just being real. So, new things to come, man. New things to come.
No doubt about it. All right. So with that said, we had mentioned Peyton Manning and Eli and Archie as being, you know, some of the bloodlines where it did work. So with that, I don't know if you guys have heard about this or not, but obviously there's a desire right now to have anything sports. We had talked about the fact that Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods were going to do, the second year of this golf challenge and try and draw hopes of getting a bunch of people to watch and be engaged. Well, they kind of spiced it up, and they're going to make it better by adding Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Peyton Manning's going to be with Tiger. Tom Brady's going to be with Phil. And they had a press conference yesterday to talk about all things talking crap to build up hype for this golf match. And it's going to be in Florida. And it was funny because first Phil showed the winning belt buckle or trophy that he got for beating Tiger last year. And he goes, I don't know if you know what one of these looks like. And Tiger goes, wait a minute, there's a chill in here. And he covered himself up with a Masters jacket, and everybody chuckled. But maybe the best back and forth, or at least blast, came from, of all people, Peyton Manning, as he went at Tom Brady. It sounded like this.
Ernie, the course, you know, the tournament had to be in Florida, you know, after Tom's B&E arrest, you know, with the ankle monitor. He couldn't leave the state, so it had to be in Florida. Tiger and I talked to the sheriff in Tampa. He's going to be allowed to go to Palm Beach to play. I'll be honest, I've never played Tom very well on his home turf, and so maybe this is considered a neutral site, and I would have loved to have had this tournament in a place where they don't like Tom very much, Indianapolis, Denver, Boston, you know, after he just betrayed them and broke their hearts. So Palm Beach is the best we can probably do. Look, I think the teams are fair. I think, you know, Phil chose the right partner in Tom together. You know, they have 11 championships. Tiger and I have 17, the way I count it, right, Tiger?
I think he sold it short, because you just talk about championships. Tiger's got, what, 85 tournament wins. Manning's got multiple Super Bowls. So, and if you just do majors, then you got 17 plus whatever Peyton's won, and Brady's got to throw six into whatever Phil's won. But, I mean, are you going to watch? Nick, you're not a golfer. I'm a golfer. I'll watch because I think it'll be entertaining, and the fact that you're going to get quarterbacks playing golf as well as two of the best to ever do it, I would watch. I don't know if I'm paying to watch it, but I would watch it if it's on over-the-air television.
Well, if there's commentary like that, I think even the average fan who's not a golfing fan, I think would participate in that. And that's funny. I mean, because you got to wonder how much that hurts. I mean, he's obviously embracing, you know, the competition that he had with Tom Brady over the years. But at the same time, you know, like, not everybody can joke about that situation, because most people would argue, you know, like, Tom Brady, he obviously has more Super Bowls. So it's cool to see Peyton Manning kind of being, you know, he's making fun of Tom Brady, but he's also being self-deprecating as well. So I think you don't have to be a golf fan to watch that. I mean, I would watch that. I wouldn't pay for it, though. You're right. I probably wouldn't pay for it.
The funny thing is, and I think, I want to say that Peyton, again, was the one that brought it up, but based on how the press conference went, a lot of people jumped on board saying, I hope they're mic'd up for all of this, because if there's any crap talking to be had like it was at the press conference on the course, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that would be absolutely fantastic if they would do that. So I'm all in if there's something like that to be added to it too. I think the great thing is three of them, obviously, no, Tiger and Phil are notorious crap talkers. Peyton, who's always been kind of not wanting to give billboard material, he's done playing now, so he can say whatever he wants. Brady's the guy that's always been super reserved that you'd really like to see come out of his shell and be a crap talker, but it remains to be seen.
I think that will happen more when he's retired. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he was done, I could see it happening.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know if you're going to get that from him, but it'll be interesting to see how it all goes. All right, we got a final segment to go in the show, and then we're going to turn over to the Blitz, who's going to take you from 4 to 7. And, of course, if you missed any of today's show, just go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the usual suspects at the top of the page. Menu will come down. You can catch up on what you missed in the first couple hours of the show today. And go forward right here on ESPN975.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, Nick, I guess you know how we have done in the past. Every now and then we hit a hot button. My goodness. I mean, we already have set the record for a week in text messages, but they keep rolling in. A lot of good ones. Big Dog Robinson and his son who's in the NBA. Okay, but we're talking about the very top of top of it all. We're talking about two generations, too. That's the biggest thing. Because a lot of, sure, there's plenty of brothers like the Gasol brothers you mentioned. There's been others. Demetrius way over the top with way too many auto racing mentions. That's never going to make it to the air. And it's like lawn talk for Nick and I. It's like, you know, nails on a chalkboard. So some of the other ones that they've said in terms of, let's see, there's some pretty good ones. First of all, getting back to that call, everybody that thought it was very funny said that when he said the Tom line about obviously not being able to leave the state because of his B&E arrest, which is breaking and entering, if you missed it, because he went to the wrong house when he was going to his offensive coordinator's house, Byron Leftwich, to get the playbook, and just opened up the front door and walked into some unassuming guy on his couch to go, who the hell are you? And then to find out it was Brady. That was a good one. People got amusement out of Peyton Manning there. And I think that's the greatest thing that we found out about with Peyton Manning is once he's done playing, boy, the personality that comes out, even when he was on Saturday Night Live and otherwise, we knew it was there. But what we're getting right now, I think that's why people want him to do broadcasting, because he's been great.
Yeah, he's naturally funny, and now he's genuine. Like, he's really – he just seems like a genuine dude. And when he's picking on you, like, I could see how, like, you know, if – like, I think Tom Brady genuinely has a real respect and actually likes Peyton Manning, because you can get along with – I mean, that's a guy that you faced, you know, and – you know, regarded as the guy that's, you know, either just as good, if not better, during your career at some point. So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I would say. I mean, I don't think, like I said before, I don't think you necessarily have to be a golfing fan to want to watch that, you know?
Right, right. And so back to our discussions on the family thing. Biggio, you know what? If Craig's son and sons, because there's another one coming up, continue to play at a very high level, maybe someday, you know, maybe that's a family that you can watch. Titan Hugo, yes, we are taking calls. We've taken them throughout the show, but a little late now because we're heading into the Blitz. Someone else said the McCaffreys in football, Christian McCaffrey. And
oh, yeah.
People forget, yeah, Ed was a good receiver for the Broncos. That's a good call. The Boone family, Aaron Boone, his dad Bob Boone was an all-star. That's a good one. You don't want to admit that because Aaron's now the manager of the hated Yankees.
Yep.
The Williams sisters. Yeah, but their mom and dad didn't do anything. It has to be two generations. So there, the wrestling, the Bret Hart and his dad in wrestling, I'm not familiar, but I'll take your word for it. So, yeah, there's some other ones that have been a little bit over the top that we're not going to get into. But, yeah, Kobe and Jellybean Joe are climbing the charts. Still people giving us some racers, the Manning family again mentioned. So we had some fun with that. So good job, guys. Way to fill in with some extra stuff that kind of contributed to the show. We always appreciate that. Why does someone keep putting The Rock? Was Dwayne Johnson's dad someone that I missed?
Maybe. I wouldn't know.
Like The Rock played football at the U. He was at the University of Miami.
Right.
But I don't know if it, what his dad did.
I don't either. I mean, I don't remember him, his father or his mom being somebody that's famous or an athlete or. Rocky Johnson was a Canadian professional wrestler.
Okay. People keep texting. I think it's the same person. Nastia and Valerie Lukin. The only Olympic gold medalists anyone had listed. Okay. Well, there's other achievements like Hall of Fames and Super Bowls and NBA titles and things like that. So we appreciate you participating. Sometimes it doesn't win. We'll just, you guys can keep kicking them out there if you want, but lots of good contributions from you guys. We appreciate that. And look, it's been a tough week, so we appreciate all the contributions this week because, you know, sometimes, you know, you get thrown a curveball and we got to go. So as we move forward, we appreciate you guys continuing to support the show. I did want to throw this out to you, Nick. I don't know if you saw this or not. Jamal Crawford came out with a story with all this Last Dance stuff.
Yeah, I saw the headline.
Yeah, the question becomes, how big are your cojones, and when do you think enough is enough? Jamal Crawford was like a 21-year-old NBA player, and he crossed paths with Michael Jordan. And they ended up having a three-point contest, and Michael said, I'll shoot it with you for 1,000. So Crawford took him up on it, and Jordan won. So Crawford comes back, which a lot of people wouldn't do. And he ups the ante and says, instead of double or nothing, let's do it again for $5,000. And he beats MJ.
Okay.
So, much like I told you when I played golf with him and the things that I've seen him do, he likes to find that price that makes you uncomfortable. So, he ups it from the $5,000. He says, what car did you drive here with to Crawford? Who says, a Mercedes. Turns out he had just got a brand new Mercedes, got personalized plates on it, and that's what he was driving. Jordan says, I came with a Ferrari. Let's bet our cars. I mean, and from an MJ perspective, you're putting a much more expensive car on the line.
And that had to have played and you know, that had to have messed with Crawford's head. First of all, you've challenged Michael Jordan. Now he wants the tiebreaker, and he wants the tiebreaker very confidently, and he's willing to bet his Ferrari over your Mercedes. Best part, there was a personalized license plate that Jamal Crawford had to remove, and MJ straight drove
Jordan
off.
Goes 5 for 5 in the shootout and ends up taking the personalized plates off and driving off in Crawford's new Mercedes. Savage,
that's
man.
Great.
I mean, you talk about the ultimate. At a certain point, you're only 21 at that point, and yeah, obviously Crawford's had an unbelievably long and prosperous career.
Sure, yeah.
But you're just getting started, and you're going to do that and lose? Ooh, boy. I'm talking about going home that night and really kicking myself.
Well, yep, at that time, you know, like, that's part of the thrill, right? You're, you know, even if you lose, well, you lost to Michael Jordan. If you won, well, I beat Michael Jordan. It's like a win-win situation for Jamal Crawford at that time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a lose-lose situation for MJ, but that just kind of shows, you know, that kind of goes to his greatness, you know, the fact that he was able to do that. So,
someone said George Bush and his son. All right, we're not talking politics, for God's sake. And there's several people that have said that. Someone said the Ball family. No, because we know the dad has actually lost points because of that. Muhammad Ali and Layla Ali. All right, I'll give it to you. And as we get close to the end, then we'll get some of these in. Is what someone asked based on the phone call, what day and hour was Trey's call? It was the third hour of Wednesday's show. So if you want to go back on the podcast, third hour Wednesday's show, you can catch that. Someone said, in my heart of hearts, I know Barry will be Charlie, Joel, and Nick's biggest fan. Roll on, Press Box. We love you. We appreciate you. That was very nice. And then someone else said, will you guys miss the school pickup line hour in hour number 3? Well, I thought about that, and Nick and I actually talked about that. And whether Charlie participated or not, we were thinking about maybe making him a little uncomfortable, pushing that. But then they changed the time slot on us, and at 2 o'clock, ain't nobody going to be in the pickup line anyway. So much like a lot of the other elements of the suspects, it's just going to have to be a fond memory that goes away because we're only going 11-2, so we can't do it anymore.
Different time, different dynamic, different trio. So yeah, I mean that's what Barry did. He made the show fun. So I mean that's not to say that Charlie and Joel can't have fun, and Charlie definitely can have fun. It's just a different type of fun. So
yeah,
embrace it because it comes Monday.
And again, people, and you miss a lot of the interaction. Like when we would come in the studio and Charlie was leaving, and you miss how great a personality Charlie actually has and how he can dish it out pretty damn well. So hopefully one of the dynamics that we're going to get you guys to get into will be a little bit of more Charlie's personality, a little bit more of the fact everybody knows he's a brilliant numbers guy and sports guy. But if we get him to be a little bit more suspect in the way he kind of gets into things and has some fun with things. Now, I'm not going to guarantee you that he ever utters the word penis, but I'm just telling you, we're going to do our best to get him to be more of you know, the fun and games department as well as the sports guy, and we'll have some fun with it. And with all that said, Nick, and I know you just said it again, Joel and Charlie, it's a three-man band, buddy, and you know it's always been that way, and we've been proud of the fact that when we got this whole thing started, you were as integral a part as anyone, and it's going to continue to be that way. And for all the things that we went through this week, the best thing that I can say as a positive going forward is the fact that you're still going to be with me, and we're going to still do what we do, and we're still going to go forward. So I appreciate you hanging in there. These last 2 days haven't been easy for any of us, but particularly you filling in for Barry. But you know, I appreciate you and I love you, and that's why we, you know, we've gotten along as well as we have.
Absolutely, man. And Barry, if you're listening, shout out. You know, as far as I go, the suspects was ended yesterday. So I mean, the name is still tagged through the end of this show, but it ended on Wednesday when Barry's last day was there. And
yep.
Just look forward to the press box on ESPN 97.
No doubt.
For sure.
So we start anew next week, so hopefully you'll come on through and check out the press box. But until then, the mainstays, the 10-year vets who have worked together for a long, long time, they're going to continue to work for you. They're coming up next. It's Fred, it's AJ, it's Aaron, it's The Blitz, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.